Good Tuesday. Today is June the 24th, and you're listening to My Farm, a new world screwworm making headlines as the USDA has some ideas on how to attack it. We're also going to get some crop information from Dr. Laura Lindsay and Dr. Kelly Tillman dealing with plant populations and insect scouting. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, USDA Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced the U.S.-based sterile fly dispersal facility will be built at the Moore Airfield Base in South Texas to help combat the spread of New World screwworm. Now, the $8.5 million facility is part of a plan to enhance USDA's ability to detect, control, and eliminate that pest. The United States has defeated New World screwworm before and will do it again, Rollins said in a press release. We do not take lightly the threat that New World screwworm poses to our livestock industry, our economy, and our food supply chain. The United States government will use all resources at its disposal to push back New World screwworm, and today's announcement is a domestic strategy to bolster our border defense is just the beginning. We have the proven tools, strong domestic and international partnerships, and grit needed to win the battle. Now, back on May 11th, imports of live cattle, bison, and horses from Mexico were halted when the pest was found within 700 miles of the U.S. border. Previously, in November of 24, the border was closed when the first case of New World screwworm was found in southern Mexico, but then reopened on February the 1st of this year. Now, the announcement last week is pivotal in protecting the U.S. cattle industry. That, according to Stephen Dybel, Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association first vice president, he said that sterile flies are the only known way to stop reproduction and continued expansion of New World screwworm, and it's assuring to see Secretary Rollins follow through her early commitments to increase production of sterile flies domestically. Diebel said that Texas cattle raisers are concerned about the pest and protecting the U.S. beef herd. He hopes this facility, along with other investments by USDA, can prevent the pest from entering the country. The NCBA, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, also showed support for the announcement. The only way to protect American cattle herds from the devastating threat of New World screwworm is by having a sufficient supply of sterile flies to push this pest back away from our border. Currently, there's only one sterile fly production facility in the world located in Panama. That facility can produce 117 million sterile flies per week, but nearly three times as many would be needed per week along the southern U.S. border. The proposed facility is expected to be completed by the end of 2025 and will be able to disperse sterile flies in northern Mexico as needed. Now, according to the USDA release, exploration continues on new technologies and new science to eradicate New World screwworm. Discussion has also begun on the possibility of building a domestic sterile fly production facility at that same location. Now, the presence of New World screwworm can cause excessive damage. New World screwworm are fly larvae that infest living tissue of warm-blooded animals, causing an infection. And according to the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, these maggots will burrow into a wound, feeding as they go, doing extensive damage by tearing the host tissues with their sharp mouth hooks. The wound becomes larger and deeper, and New World screwworm can cause serious, even deadly damage to the animals it infests. The adult screwworm flies are about the size of a common house fly, with orange eyes, a metallic blue or green body, and three dark stripes along their back. Now, affected mammals and birds show signs of irritated behavior, head shaking, the smell of decay, evidence of a fly strike, and the presence of fly larvae in those wounds. And since the New World screwworm only mate once, releasing sterile males to mate with the females helps that population decline. USDA eradicated New World screwworm from the United States in 1966 using the sterile fly technique, and it was used successfully again in 2016 in southern Florida Keys, where it was found in deer. The process continues to be used in Mexico and Latin America currently. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at crop.com. coverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to get a quick update now from Dr. Laura Lindsay. She's the OSU Extension Soybean and Small Grain Specialist, talking about some things to keep in mind when it comes to our late planted soybeans or any replants.
Sure. The first adjustment to think about is seeding rate. As we plant later in the growing season, we recommend increasing seeding rates. So if you plant the first half of June, we recommend having a plant stand of 130 to 150,000 plants per acre. So of course, seeding rate should be higher than that. Once we get into the end of June and double crop soybean situations, we would like to see a plant population of at least 180,000 plants per acre. The other thing to keep in mind is row width. Narrow rows are always better, and narrow is 15 or 7.5 inches. Those are always better than 30-inch rows, and the effect of row width is greater as you plant later. So really, if you're thinking about planting in June or July, really trying to have narrow rows if at all possible.
Again, those comments from Dr. Laura Lindsay, OSU Extension State Specialist for Soybeans and Small Grains. We also have an update from Dr. Kelly Tillman. She is a field specialist for entomology with OSU Extension, talking about insect scouting and different pests to pay attention to at different times in the growing season.
You know, every year is different. I've been getting a lot of questions about slugs with all the moist weather. Slugs love damp conditions, and so a lot of slug problems this year, but we're kind of getting past the point where you can replant for that if you've had a big problem, and I think we're exiting the slug period. That's been a big one. In July, we tell people to start looking for defoliation in soybeans. So that's a whole bunch of different insects that cause feeding damage on the leaves of soybean. A lot of different caterpillars, sometimes grasshoppers, depending on if it's dry. And July, particularly the back half of July, is a good time to start scouting for that.
Dr. Tillman also shared some thoughts on scouting for insects as we get late in the season, especially for some of those later season crops.
Things could get interesting with late planted soybeans towards the end of the growing season. So September, if you still have fields that are green when other fields are drying down, those are going to be a magnet for certain insect pests. They're going to leave all the other fields and they're going to come into what's juicy and green. Two of the biggest types of pests we worry about are stink bugs. There's several species, but they all feed the same way. They feed directly on developing seeds, and also bean leaf beetles, which chew on pods and can cause seed damage that way and also open the plant to disease. Those are two particular things that really get on the move when things are drying down and find what's green. So we're definitely going to be doing some education efforts for people to watch out for those towards the end of the season.
Again, our guest, Dr. Kelly Tillman, field specialist and entomologist with OSU Extension. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.